This is a podcast from thebuglepodcast.com.
The Bugle, audio newspaper for a visual world.
Hello, Buglers, and welcome to Bugle 260 sub-episode Adin. I am Andy Zaltzman, and I'm afraid there is no full Bugle this week due to John Oliver's and my hectic showbiz lifestyles, by which I mean due to John Oliver's hectic showbiz lifestyle and due to me going on holiday to eat a life-endangering quantity of pizza in Italy. But instead, I've spent the last fortnight here in Sochi at the Vladimir Putin 61 and a quarter birthday special winter sports fortnight of fun, or the Olympics, as the pedants insist on calling it. I'm reporting exclusively for The Bugle, the official broadcast partner of the IOC, that is subject to some legal confirmation. And I'm reporting on both the classic Winter Olympic Blue Ribbon events that I've been going to and some of the spectacular new competitions that have been wowing the spectators around the world. Here then are the Bugle highlights of the 22nd Winter Games here in the USSR. As the ice dance reaches its denouement, still in the lead, the Canadian pair, Paul Wadge and Jeanette Mayhem. And what a routine that was. Who says you cannot win an Olympic ice dance medal as two halves of a pantomime horse? And you have to say they danced quite beautifully to the aria from Mozart's Jack and the Beanstalk. But now, to challenge them, coming onto this oh-so-very Russian ice, it's the hotly fancied South African pair, Skalkina van der Yarp and Warty Horsecock, in fourth place after the prancing around sticking your asses out of the judges' phase. Now it's the free dance. Always a strength of this pair, and they've gone for another controversial choice of music, Skalkina and Warty. The chart-topping 2013 hit by the American porn-funk pioneers Turbine and the Grinder. It's their number one single, Dangler Danger. I'm going to put my in your ear. And let's see how this music works out for them. Here they go. That is unquestionably a very vigorous start, and well, that is an extremely unorthodox move for this day to the Olympic ice dance program. Can't quite imagine Torvald and Dean trying to pull that one off. And oh, that's too graphic. Look, it might score high for technical merit. In fact, it should score very high indeed. That is a quite extraordinary angle. But now, while some of the judges are turning away, whilst others are leaning in for a closer view, this is a real opinion splitter. And well, I guess you cannot dispute the fact that they have interpreted this music extremely literally. So I'm here at the bottom of the bobsled run with the crew of Poland 3, who've just finished a brilliant 43rd in the four-man bob. Thanks, guys, for talking to me. I've got here driver Wojciech Bleszczynski, then the other guys, I don't know what they're called, Zbigniew Krakowiak, Greg, and Chris. Well done, guys. Now, you seem to have had a bit of a problem down that last run, Wojciech, when you seem to take a right instead of a left.
Agnieszka, my tata, Tomek.
Yes, Andy, we certainly did. I'm afraid the GPS was knackered, and Greg could not find the map because it was too crowded in the back, and Zbigniew and Chris were mucking about.
So why do you think you were so slow out of the start gate today?
Our sled radio was tuned into a jazz channel. I f***ing hate jazz. I can't drive a sled with that shit on. So I had to tune in to something else. But the reception is dog shit up here because of all the f***ing mountains. So it took me a while.
And do you think and hope that you will have inspired some young Polish kids watching you out there to maybe take up the bobsled as a sport?
My mama.
I do hope so, Andy. Of course, most young people are absolute losers with no f***ing chance of ever making it to the Olympics. But bobsled is a very valuable life skill. It teaches you how to get from A to B as fast as possible, provided that A is at the top of a bobsled run and B is at the bottom of the same bobsled run.
Great, guys, thanks for talking. Could I get a lift back to the hotel in that thing? The women begins downhill skiing now at an absolutely crucial stage. It's the big Austrian hope, Birgit Flabsch. Out of the start gate, literally like a cannonball. There she goes, over the control gates. That's legal these days. I think she's headed vaguely for the finish area. Yes, we'll have to see where she lands. And, oh, splat right through the middle. That was a beautifully calibrated shot, especially in this tricky wind. And Flabsch moves into gold medal position. Yes, I think she's still moving. And, well, the purists don't like this. And it's always risky being fired out of a cannon instead of just skiing down the mountain. But that shows you the lengths these athletes will go to in search of glory. And with a run of just 8.93 seconds, she goes ahead of Norway's Ingegrid Fløndalen, whose effort from the Trebuchet catapult is looking still pretty good for silver. And welcome to the first ever Olympic downhill curling event. And as you join us here, it's Garila Slopchenko of the Ukraine with the final stone of the 14th end. She sets it off now down the icy slope. And yes, that's another one bouncing into the crowd at the bottom. The rapidly decreasing crowd, still nil-nil. Semi-final time in the thrilling if controversial biathlon pursuit. That's new this Olympics. Skiing and shooting, a combination of physical endurance and body control in the mists of exhaustion. What a challenge this is. And it's Oblakov of Russia versus Snautovic of Slovenia. Snautovic lost the toss and is now skiing through this dense forest, the young Slovenian. Can he make it safely back to the finish area, pursued by the vastly experienced Oblakov, armed with the standard-issue Olympic assault rifle plus the regulation handgun? And, well, this is going to be a tough one for Snautovic, already looking slightly terrified as he makes his way through the trees, anxiously looking over his shoulders. Knowing that Oblakov, the reigning world champion, is, of course, both a highly proficient cross-country skier and a trained FSB assassin with a kill list to match anyone's in the post-communist era, at least. And, well, it's a bit cagey at the moment. But Oblakov with a sudden sprint and a short cut behind some undergrowth. He's pinned him. He's pinned him now in a corner. There's no way out for Snautovic. He's trying to make a snowball to throw in self-defense. That's not going to be enough. Oblakov has the shot and got him. Down goes the young Slovenian and finishes him off at close range. Lovely execution. And it's all over for Snautovic. Still, he's had a terrific Olympics. His first, now probably his last two. They'll send a consolation bronze medal to his grieving family. Superb hit by Oblakov. Surgical effort from this master of the winter assassination. And the pride of Siberia strikes again, and wouldn't his granddad be proud, the much feared viper of Verkhoyansk, the terror of the tundra, whose reign of horror in the 1940s very much made him the then Soviet boss Joe Stalin's go-to guy for those remote jobs in the icy heart of the Russian winter. What pressure on these men now as they know they have only one chance in the freestyle big air cliffboard final. One chance only to grasp their place in Olympic history as the first gold medalists in this event. And first up, Julian Chapklatter from Switzerland, notoriously ambitious with his jumps. He's been a daredevil, he says, ever since he was dropped down a bobsled run when he was 0 minutes old, proving once again the wisdom of the old saying, do not give birth at the top of a bobsled run. I think that was Florence Nightingale. So Chapklatter now, helmet on. He's going to need that. Down he comes and up to the ramp, and it's a backside 1080 with twin frontside grab and a Molotov slap down. What a move! And he disappears over the cliff, and the judges will very much like what they saw of that. And if he survives the whole fall, he could be in contention for a podium finish. Here in the Olympic Principles Memorial Rink, time for the qualifying round of the ice dressage, and there are some very, very agitated looking horses out there after this morning's practice round. Very agitated indeed. And the only thing one can say about this event is there is a reason that horses do not live on icebergs. A very good reason. Still nil-nil in this stoneless curling group stage encounter. We've seen some excellent brushwork by the British girls. Petula Goggin and Bernadine Stooch only came out here as cleaning ladies for the British team hotel, but here they are competing in the Olympic Games. Still no score. Nil-nil, as always. Please make it stop. I don't care if we might win a medal. There are people throwing themselves off mountains. Let's watch that instead. Please. Please. So the excitement is palpable here at the ski jump hill, as for the first time in the history of Winter Olympic ski jumping, motorbikes will be heard. And here comes Italy's Francesca Plottagrotti on her trademark Kawasaki 350. Good speed down the ramp from Francesca, and up she goes through the flaming ring of fire. Over one bus, two bus, three bus, I think six buses. Can she nail the landing? Well, it was a brave effort, and the judges will look favourably on that. So tough to land in the last competitor's ambulance tracks. That was a super effort. And America's favourite, Enid Knievel, is going to have to pull out all the stops to beat that. And this venue has seen some spectacular action in the last 2 weeks, particularly in the new Big Hill Husky Sled Jumping. What an event that is. And put it this way, there are some vets in Sochi who are enjoying a very profitable games. So there you go, all the big action from the Winter Olympics. Anyway, all in all, it's been a tremendously exciting time out here in Sochi, where I am, particularly watching some of the traditional alpine skiing events. I particularly like the ones that test out the skier's ability to execute long, sweeping turns. So I went to watch that, and who should I bump into there but my old rabbi? Well, we hadn't seen each other in years, so he rabbied his way over to me, gave me a big hug and a genuinely warm and surprisingly loud greeting. It was lovely. I really enjoyed that supergiant shalom. And that is all for now. Do check out our SoundCloud page, www.soundcloud.com/the-bugle, and our website, thebuglepodcast.com. That has all your merch needs, unless you are looking for merch that is either edible or useful or without Bugle branding on it. And if you've still forgotten to, you can also at our website take out your voluntary subscription. And don't forget, this week is International Tell a Friend About the Bugle Week, preferably one who doesn't already listen, or one that who hasn't already listened and decided that they absolutely hate it. Until next time, das fi f***ing Daniel.